The newest member of the Green Bay Packers was signed on Thursday, just in time for the start of OTAs next week. We'll talk about how the new addition fits into the team, and to do so, we bring in Jeremy Larson for some pre-Memorial Day weekend Packers talk. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We are talking about some off-season topics of the Green Bay Packers. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Jeremy Larson, who volunteered via Twitter. I'm just glad to have somebody to talk Packers football with today. So good morning, Jeremy, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Nothing says Memorial Day like Packer football, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's never a bad time to talk about the Packers. That's the way I think about it. So we've got several topics to get to on the show today. The Packers signed a cornerback on Thursday, rookie Travis Manning. And Jeremy, I don't expect you to know anything about Manning, about the only person I could possibly have on the show who could shed any insight into him,
I think is his
college coach.
About him.
What's that?
I do know a little about him.
You do know a little about him. Okay, so go ahead. Give me the lowdown then.
So decent size, standard size, 5'11". Good speed. Ran a 4.45. He is an all conference hurdler, and from his sophomore to junior season, had 7 interceptions, which is pretty good. 10 interceptions through his college career, so not too shabby. That's all the information I have on him, so but it's better than nothing.
Exactly. So, I mean, if we were to take a look at how Manning fits into the team, we probably have a little bit better grasp on the Packers' cornerback situation. We know they lost a pair in free agency. But how do you think the cornerback situation is shaping up? Who will be the starters? Who's going to be the nickel cornerback? Who's going to be the dime cornerback? How do you see all these pieces fitting in?
Well, I think it's going to be pretty chalk to start off with. What I mean by that is I think you're going to have Shields and Hayward starting on the outside. You're going to have Hyde as your nickel. And then I think you're going to have Randall is your dime, and Randall might be able to fight for that nickel spot. I'm interested to see how it works in camp and in the preseason.
Yeah, I tend to agree because, I mean, it always seems like the Packers are hesitant to hand over these jobs to the rookies right away unless there's just an obvious hole. Their jobs seem to grow as the season goes along. That's the way it's worked out in the past, to my perception.
Exactly. And one player that I'm really curious to see how he developed, there was a lot of contention last year about how they let Jamari Roll go.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loved him, and they kept Goodson. So, I mean, I know a lot of people are excited to see, and maybe nervous, to see, what he looks like in camp, to see if it was worth letting a guy like Roll go to keep, somebody who hasn't really been playing football that long,
mm-hmm.
and you're playing the potential game with him. So, curious to see what we have in him. Can he contribute? Is he even going to make the 53 this year?
Yeah, interesting stories, especially him and Quentin Rollins, two former basketball players who neither of them really have a ton of football experience behind it. But it'll be fun to see how that all shakes out.
But I think, you know, and to me personally, I think those two are night and day different as far as players go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scouts in the draft were looking at Rollins, and they loved him. You know, mm-hmm. everybody, if you're a draft Nick and you follow the draft, everybody loves Rollins. The guy just has a knack for the game. There's just people that have a nose for the ball and a knack for it, whether they've been playing for 10 years, 10 weeks, 10 days, or 10 minutes. There's just people that have a nose for the ball. Mm-hmm. You either can do it or you can't. He can't. Goodson never really showed that natural ability, that natural knack that I think Rollins has.
Yeah, and that's probably why Rollins was a second-round draft pick and Goodson was a sixth-round draft pick, so they can kind of see the potential there. But if we talk about some other positions on the roster here, yesterday, on Thursday, Ty Montgomery signed his contract with the Green Bay Packers, which I think is, you know, gives us an appropriate time to talk about Ty Montgomery. How big of a role do you anticipate he'll play in his rookie season in the NFL?
Well, I think that was my favorite draft pick of theirs this year. He's going to be an instant contributor in the special team. And I think if they use him offensively the way they did in Stanford with bubble screen, moving him around and even out of the backfield, I think towards the middle to the latter part of the season, like they did with Davante Adams, as Rodgers gets more comfortable with him,
mm-hmm.
I think he can play quite a big role in the offense and almost push for the number three spot towards the end of the season.
That would be interesting to see so early in his career. But yeah, it's interesting. I was going back and watching some film. He even played kind of a wildcat quarterback at times, certainly not a ton, but it just goes to show the versatility he has being used out of the backfield and things like that.
Yeah, he reminds me of almost a poor man's Percy Harvin.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just a step slower than Percy Harvin. But again, a guy who you can really put anywhere on the field, and you need a bunch of guys like that. And you can put packages for him. And I think day one, it looks like McCarthy likes him. And I think day one, they're going to put stuff in there. And I'm excited to see what they do with him. But at the very least, he's going to be an impact player on special teams.
Yep, at Packers rookie minicamp a few weeks ago now, but Mike McCarthy said he was impressed by Ty Montgomery during his post-practice press conference. We're talking to Jeremy Larson here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central on both Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports. Jeremy, since our last episode of Railbird Central, Julius Peppers was named to the NFL Network Top 100 Players of 2015 list. This happened on Wednesday. He came in at number 71 overall. Do you think that's fair? Is that the right place Julius Peppers ranks among his peers? Should he be higher? Should he be lower? Where should he rank?
You know, I would say that's about right. Maybe that's a little high. You're getting a little, you know, name recognition just with, you know, Julius Peppers being Julius Peppers. But he's still, you know, at 34 years old, he still has a lot of game. He's still a top 100 player. So whether it's ranked 71 or 80, he's well worth it.
Yeah,
it was a good pick.
I thought it was remarkable last year between the playoffs and regular season combined. He forced 6 fumbles. That's an incredibly high number for one player, especially somebody who's 34 years old. But that kind of leads me right into my next question here. He's going to be 35 this upcoming season. Do you have any concern that age is finally going to catch up to Julius Peppers in 2015 and his production's going to fall off?
I don't. I think... you know, with the way he played, I really don't. I think he's got another 2 years left in him of being highly productive. I'm sure they'll put him on a pitch count. You know, I'm sure they'll limit the snaps a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not very concerned. I'm really not. And I'm hoping that some other outside linebackers like an Adrian Hubbard can actually, you know, come up to the 53 and contribute to give him a blow every now and again this year.
Yeah, I think Adrian Hubbard, I think the Packers would love Adrian Hubbard to kind of be Julius Peppers' replacement, because he's kind of that one guy who kind of has the same size. He's really tall and really big. Whereas most of the Packers outside linebackers aren't you know, like that 6'6 type, but Adrian Hubbard is.
Adrian Hubbard, if he didn't have a minor heart condition, he would have been a second round pick last year.
Yeah.
The teams were a little nervous about it, and that's why he fell, and that is the only reason.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. So on this NFL Network top 100 list, Randall Cobb and Julius Peppers have already been revealed. Who's left from the Packers, and where should they be ranked?
Well, there's a young upstart quarterback, I think, he's on TV at number 12. I think he'll be number one-ish.
Would you be surprised if he finished anywhere but number one?
You know, I wouldn't. Those lists are always weird. I would be surprised if he's on the top three.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I like Josh Sitton and TJ Lang, I think, have to be on the list. They're probably somewhere in the, 60s.
50s, 60s. Do you really think those guards? I mean, I agree with you. I think they're some of the best guards in the NFL. But do you think playing the guard position, they're going to get that love on this televised list?
I don't think they will, but I think they should.
Fair enough.
If you're an aficionado of the game and you see, especially TJ Lang, on the stretch play, they run a lot. You know, the way he hits the reach block, and he can move. I mean, he can really hit some angles, so he's good. They got a great pair of guards, so I hope they get it. Obviously, Lacy and then Matthews would be my other picks.
How about Jordy Nelson?
Jordy Nelson. Jordy, I'm going to say top 15.
Okay, fair enough. We'll continue to watch. I think they release new episodes on Wednesday evenings on the NFL Network over the course of the next month or so during the off season. But kind of also since our last episode of Railbird Central, Matt Bowen of Bleacher Report included the Packers in a list of the top three secondaries in the NFL. And that kind of took me by surprise a little bit. Jeremy, do you think the Packers secondary can be that good?
I saw that too, and I was taken aback for a moment. I had to think about it. And, I went and I looked at other rosters and pondered it. Took a nap, ate a sandwich, thought about it again. And, I really do think they can. And here's the reason why. Pass rush makes a secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing Green Bay doesn't really have is a strong, strong pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are really doing a lot of it at a disadvantage. And they do it pretty well, and they're relatively young.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it's on expectation, but I think it's warranted. I mean, just considering what else is out there, I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm. I mean, it's not crazy.
Yeah, I think it's based on potential, too, that, certainly you bring in these two, early round draft picks and you think that they could be pretty good. I guess I would be hesitant to put them there until I see them. But,
well, Brian, here's another thing, too. I mean, and I thought of this, too. They played Kelvin Johnson twice a year, mm-hmm. and then before Brandon Marshall got traded, they played him twice a year. How often did those two guys beat the Packers?
It's a good point.
They don't. when I know Tremont's gone, and I know Hollis is gone, but still, Shields did the lion's share of covering on Kelvin Johnson. Shields was the one that covers the big number one.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys never beat him.
Yeah.
And that shows something in the secondary.
There's something to be said about that. Those guys have definitely never killed the Packers, really. Not to say they never have a reception, but the Packers do a good job of limiting their effectiveness, so to speak.
Yeah, they ding them. I mean, you're not going to go unscathed, you know, but
So, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to go on to another topic. I didn't know if you had anything to add to this one yet.
No, let's roll the trolley along.
All right. So I learned yesterday that Clay Matthews is making a cameo appearance in the movie Entourage, making this the second movie he's appeared in this offseason alone, following up with Pitch Perfect. And I can hear all the critics now saying, oh, stick to football, you know, for crying out loud, Clay Matthews is appearing in more movies than Tom Hanks this summer. Is there any merit to something like that at all?
Not at all. Football is entertainment. Sports is entertainment. And there's not a lot different than watching pro wrestling. You know, the only difference is that pro wrestling is predetermined. These guys have to market themselves. There's a life after football. You know, Clay's got those beautiful golden locks showing out of his helmet for a reason. You know, so you know it's Clay Matthews. You know, that's how he makes his money and how he'll make his money when he's done playing football. So, no, and shooting two movies in a summer, I have no problem with it, and it won't affect his play on the field.
Yeah, I think as long as he's shooting the movies during the off season and they're not actually happening during the regular season, I think he's fine. Details were revealed for Brett Favre's charity football game earlier this week, taking place this summer, the day after he's inducted in the Packers Hall of Fame, the flag football game happening at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. And details released earlier this week, tickets priced $34 to $55, kind of depending on where you sit in the stadium, things like that. Jeremy, would you pay that much money to see a flag football game of retired football players?
Not at all. Unless it came with like a sweet buffet and a free t-shirt and a fanny pack or a frisbee. I mean, that's high, but I mean, if you can get it. I mean, how often can you see Brett Favre wing it that's not in a Wrangler commercial? you might as well pay a couple shekels and, you know, go see it. There's people that would pay more. I don't know. For me, I'm cheap. I wouldn't pay anything. But that's pricey, man. That's a lot.
I thought that was a very high amount for just some, you know, little dinky rinky-dink flag football game. I was surprised it was over $15 a ticket, especially, you know, if you're sitting high up in the stadium or things like that. How many tickets do you think they're going to sell? Because his induction, Lambeau Field's going to be sold out for that. Now, that was $4 tickets. How many do you think, you know, is the stadium going to be filled for this?
I honestly bet you they sell pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say they're gonna sell at least over 5,000. I'm gonna say they're gonna sell over $5,000.
$5,000, okay. It is an 80,000 seat stadium, so that might look pretty empty.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's not gonna look very big, but they'll put them in a real small section. Only show that, so it'll look real good on TV.
Be interesting.
Still, that's a lot of money, yeah.
Jeremy, thanks for joining me this morning. It's good to talk some Packers football, like I said, any time of the year. But appreciate discussing a little bit of football here on a Friday morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. Love to do it again.
All right, take care. Have a good Memorial Day weekend, all right?
You take care. You have a good one.
All right. Jeremy Larson, I put out the call for somebody to join me on Twitter kind of as we're, you know, entering a holiday weekend here. I hadn't really been trying too hard to set up guests as we're in the slow part of the off season. But like I said, never a bad time to talk Packers football. And glad Jeremy could join us. Glad you, the listener, could join us as well here on an episode with that. I hope, you know, people kind of maybe put on their phones or put in their cars while they're heading out on vacation this Memorial Day weekend. Take a listen as you ride along or work out or however you choose to consume the show. If you're not watching the live edition, thank you to those of you who are chime in on our blog and things like that as well. But let's continue with the discussion here.
Packers news of the day.
So on Thursday, the Packers signed rookie cornerback Travis Manning of Northwest Missouri State. I've got little to add here other than what Jeremy said before. I do know that he was a member of Northwest Missouri State's national championship team in 2013. That is in the NCAA Division II member of football. So part of a highly successful team, which is always good to see that he was a part of that. And by signing him yesterday on Thursday, the Packers are also getting him in time for the start of OTAs, which begin next week in Green Bay. So that's good, I think, from a timing standpoint, where, you know, obviously he's a long shot to make the team, but to give these guys any sort of shot at all, you're hoping they're a diamond in the rough and going to give them as much time as possible to learn what they need to learn in order to be successful. So we'll see more about Travis Manning next week. I did watch his highlight reel tape before we came on air here. And, you know, you take that with a grain of salt because you're basically only looking at plays in which he looked good. But in looking at Travis Manning's highlight tape, I'll say the Packers got a very aggressive player from the cornerback position. Really good size. I mean, he's 5'11", which is, you know, probably standard NFL cornerback size, but he's 196 pounds, which I think is, you know, that seems to be pretty well built. And he's not afraid to throw his body around at all. And the one thing that stuck out to me when watching, and I posted the highlight video at 24/7 Sports. So just go through our most recent posts there until you find the one about Travis Manning. You'll be able to watch it for yourself. But he seems to, what he'll do is he relishes the opportunity, like when the ball is in the air, to close. He really closes on receivers. And, like, you know, there's kind of that second it takes to get from quarterback to receiver. He utilizes that second of, you know, when that receiver is just sitting there vulnerable, his hands are up, he's waiting for the football, this Manning kid will close it and just hit him, just knowing, you know, that he's vulnerable at that point and he's not yet ready to accelerate forward. That's what stood out to me more than anything. To a small extent, there's actually some fun highlights where he's making leaping interceptions, which kind of shows you maybe he's a little bit of an athlete, has some athleticism, good vertical jump, perhaps things like that. So there's something to work with there. I'm not going to sit here and talk for a half hour on a guy I've only seen one highlight reel of, but that's the news the hand we were dealt with here on the day after he was signed. So if I were to touch on one more topic here, too, not necessarily news per se, but published yesterday at ProFootballFocus.com, what they did was they published an article on NFL quarterbacks, all of them, Aaron Rodgers included, but not limited to him, you know, specifically. But they looked at how quarterbacks performed against the blitz and kind of ranked every NFL quarterback, or at least those who, you know, saw, you know, probably more than 25% of their team snaps. And what they found out was Aaron Rodgers was blitzed the least of any quarterback in the entire NFL. And that's not really surprising. My initial reaction to that, as I shared on Twitter, was, you know, defensive coordinators have learned that they've learned well from an early age not to play with fire. You know, that's something you learn from your mom and dad when you're 3 years old. Don't play with fire. You're going to get burned. And defensive coordinators have learned that. When you blitz Aaron Rodgers, he's going to make you pay. And what's interesting, though, is they found out that Aaron Rodgers not only performed well against the blitz, he was the fourth highest rated quarterback against the blitz in the entire NFL. There were a few guys who did even better than him, but he's right up there at the top. He was also the second highest rated quarterback when there's no blitz whatsoever, which, you know, happens to be the majority of the time. Even when teams, you know, they keep all those guys in coverage because they know, you know, you might as well have a guy against, you know, Aaron Rodgers in coverage, because the blitz isn't going to help you all that much. And Aaron Rodgers is able to be effective anyway. And I just thought it was remarkable. And again, I wrote a post on this at 24/7 Sports. Go check out, you know, for a little bit further in-depth discussion if you want. But I thought it was remarkable that, you know, he's able to do well in either situation. You know, this is what makes him the MVP last year. This is what's likely going to make him perhaps the number one overall football player on the NFL Network's top 100 list, as we find out the rest of that in the next few weeks. He's so good in any situation. Blitz him, don't blitz him, Aaron Rodgers is going to find success anyway. And really, truthfully, this is what makes him one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. I am not hesitant to say that whatsoever, and I'm biased. I'm a Packers fan. I know that, but just assuming he doesn't have some gruesome career-ending injury, Aaron Rodgers is going to go down as one of the best of all time. I mean, he at least already has the Super Bowl to attest to that, but the way he's able to get things done like this, whether blitz him or not, he just is able to be effective anyway, I think is simply remarkable. But next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Friday, today represents the final day of phase two of the team's off-season workout program. If you remember, it's kind of broken up into three phases. Phase one, simply strength and conditioning, lasted 2 weeks. Phase two, that lasted 3 weeks, comes to an end today, which is basically what they call IPWs, or individual position workouts, in which, you know, position by position, they basically get together and work on skill work, fundamentals, things like that. The quarterbacks work together, the running backs, the receivers, the tight ends, the offensive linemen, et cetera, on the defensive side of the football. And there's no teamwork during this past 3 weeks. It's simply small group work in which they, you know, work on the fundamentals of catching and passing, or the fundamentals of blocking, or if you're, you know, when you're a defensive back, you're working on the fundamentals of coverage, or if you're, you know, whatever it is, just small skill work for 3 weeks. And it comes to an end on Friday. This is the last possible day the Packers can get together for this kind of work, because the NFL's collective bargaining agreement prohibits work during the weekends at this time of year. That changes during the regular season, where they are allowed to practice on the weekends and things like that. But, you know, rules are in place during the off season. They're not going to work these guys like dogs when it's, you know, the month of May. Last possible day today for phase two of the off season program, meaning also that phase three commences next week. Packers take off. They'll observe the Memorial Day itself and Memorial Day weekend. They'll take off. And OTAs, organized team activities, begin on Wednesday for the Packers next week. First time this offseason there will be full team practice, in which they are allowed to do offense versus defense, things like that. Prior to this point, no team stuff, no offense versus defense. They could line the whole up offense out there and go against air. They allow that, and certainly there's, you know, a time and a place to do those kind of things. But now we're finally getting down to football here, starting on Wednesday. Actual teamwork practices will be open once a week for the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks during OTAs, every practice during mini camp that they actually hold. Sometimes mini camp can be, they can cancel practices, we'll say. We'll get to that in another month's time. But we're finally getting down to football here, so it'll be fun. This will be the last episode of Railbird Central until next Wednesday. There will be, you know, I'll be observing the Memorial Day holiday. There will be no episode of Railbird Central on Monday, but we'll be back next Wednesday then, and we'll preview OTAs. We'll talk about what's going to happen on the field and what we're looking forward to and things like that. So excited for that. In fact, already got a guest lined up. We have Jeremy Vanderlinden of Titletown Sound, soundoff.com. So excited to talk to him about OTA previews next week. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing all of you then. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your Memorial Days. Have a beer. I know I'm going to have a few. So we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called, where we go, Song in My Head by String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, folks. Go Pack, go.